Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Ram Power Days. Get your new 2020 Ram Bighorn today.
Boomer Esiason brought to you this week by Town Fair Tire and by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Also brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Arbella Insurance, and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Boomer, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning? I know, tough game yesterday, so you guys must be pretty down, I'm sure.
Well, I will say one thing. You won't have to move me 6 feet away from you during this interview like you did Phil Sims yesterday.
Phil Sims has a problem. He doesn't stand on his mark on the floor, so the lighting goes bad and everybody gets mad. And I feel bad for the lighting director. His name is Lenny. Lenny works so hard to make us all look good. Now, that's easy for me, but it's very hard for Phil. So he needs all the lighting he can get, and he keeps kind of meandering away from his mark on the floor. You see, these are the things that we deal with in retirement.
I know. People think it's easy.
Boomer. It's not easy.
It's not easy. So it was not easy for the Patriots yesterday, and I'm wondering if you feel like they were exposed by the Broncos yesterday.
You know, that's a good question. I would say that they are missing half their football team. I tried to give a kind of a statement about how many guys are out on the COVID list, how many guys have opted out, and how many guys have left free agency. And it really is. I mean, it's amazing. It's like an all-pro team of players that are not playing for the Patriots. And Cam Newton's being asked to do a lot. I mean, he's tried there. They're asking him to run with it. They're asking him to throw it. They're throwing it to him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on with him. He's a great athlete. When he plays great and he's accurate and he's getting the ball out on time, you know, it's fantastic to watch. But, you know, this is what happened to him in Carolina when he was there. They were asking him to do everything. And, you know, he takes it all on his shoulders without complaint. So while I do give him a ton of credit for how hard he played yesterday and how much it means to him, you know, it obviously is, apparent that there are weaknesses in the Patriot offense under the current state, especially on the offensive line.
So I think it's more about a lack of personnel than it is the time off. Because I think the automatic question is, why is a guy like Mike Vrabel able to get the Titans ready after 16 days off and Bill Belichick isn't? But
better players, okay. Honestly. Yeah, and, yeah. They lost Terrell Lewan yesterday, it looks like, to an ACL, which is a huge loss for them. He's one of their best offensive linemen. But, you know, this is what's happening all over the league. Teams are losing players to significant injuries and then also the COVID-19 list. But, like, when I watch the Patriots play right now, you know, they don't have the wide receiver core that the Tennessee Titans have. Ryan Tannehill is having an MVP-type season. You know, Cam Newton's in a new place with new players. They're trying to use his skill set to their best ability on offense, meaning that, you know, every hit that he takes a little out of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you are, how much of a Superman you may be. That's just a lot. I mean, I feel like when I watch him and I watch Carson Wentz, they're like almost crash test dummies when they're playing. And I do believe that there has to be more practice for the Patriots. I think Bill Belichick is 100% accurate in that statement because, like I said, this is Cam Newton. He's played a handful of games with his teammates, and what we saw yesterday was one of those, you know, tough games to grind through, and they still almost had a chance to win. But They're just not good enough right now offensively.
Boomer, when you talk about personnel, I think the one thing that's really glaring to me is the fact that they have no production out of the tight end position. You talk about the Tennessee Titans. I think they have two or three guys that they get the football to. The issue with New England is that they got to be able to, in their passing game, have more than, really, in my opinion, it's Bird. He's their best offensive player. I don't know what's going on with Julian Edelman, but the tight end position is really, really an issue with this team.
Especially when you hit him and Izzo fumbles.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that's another part of it. And then you turn on the late game, and there's Rob Gronkowski looking like Rob Gronkowski used to look in New England, which compounds the problem, and Tom Brady plays well, and they beat Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, when you start comparing apples to apples, you know, some of the apples turn into lemons on the side of the Patriots right now. And I just think it really comes down to the offensive line is banged up. They lost another guy yesterday. You're playing with a lot of backups all over the place. You know, this is the same thing that, you know, San Francisco went through. And they went through it for about 3 weeks. And then last night, all of a sudden, they had their best game of the season by beating the Rams. So these things go up and down in the NFL. I would just say that the Patriots are going to be in the mix. There's no question about that in the AFC. But the real question comes down to is, you know, when are they going to get all their players back? How significant are these injuries? And will Cam Newton get back to the Cam Newton that we saw in the early part of the season? And I don't even know what the effect of COVID-19 is on Cam Newton. Yesterday, it didn't seem like he lost any energy. It looked like the energy was there. It just looked like they were off a step and he was behind guys, and it wasn't one of his more accurate games.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, you picked him as MVP over Russell Wilson.
All right, that was before the game.
Before the game.
Jesus
God. I just want to know, have you changed your mind on that? Do you want that one back?
I mean, first of all, it's a question that they ask after 5 weeks, for God's sake. So we have to answer it because we're in TV and that's what we do. But I thought, a very sound couple of reasons why going into the game he was my MVP. Number one, he had only been sacked 3 times. And number two, he hadn't thrown a freaking interception until yesterday. And he threw 2 of them in 3 passes, and both of them ended up in the end zone. One was a pick 6, and the other one was inside the 5-yard line. So those are backbreakers. Those are momentum killers. And they were leading 10-0 at the time. So we have a long way to go. He had an off day. I actually thought he might have even gotten hurt yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see their injury report coming forward to see whether or not he has a hamstring injury or not, because it looked like early in the game he was wincing and may have suffered a hamstring injury.
Teddy Bruschi was on this station last week saying the Steelers are the best team in the AFC. Wiggy says it's the Patriots. I think
Wiggs, Boomer,
that was before the game, Boomer. Oh, yeah. Just like what your Aaron Rodgers picked, that was before the game.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the Titans are undefeated. I think the Titans look fantastic. Who do you think is the best team in the AFC?
Well, I guess we're going to find out next week because Pittsburgh and Tennessee play each other. And there is a team by the name of the Kansas City Chiefs that's pretty damn good. The Buffalo Bills are pretty good. The Indianapolis Colts are pretty good. I just think that there are a number of really good teams out there. It's hard to say who is overall the best because in the middle of the season, we could wake up tomorrow and there'd be a total COVID-19 list on one of these teams, and they may have to go through what the Patriots have gone through, maybe what the Tennessee Titans have gone through. But, you know, yesterday, another huge injury for Pittsburgh. They lost Devin Bush. Looks like he's going to be out with an ACL now for the year. And he's one of their best linebackers, one of their faster linebackers that gets from sideline to sideline faster than most running backs. So that's another huge loss for them. I would just think that, the way that Ryan Tannehill's playing, he's now in the MVP conversation with 10 games to go. And I think the way that Ben Roethlisberger has come back and led the team, it should be a great game. I think if I had to put my crystal ball glasses on, Pittsburgh, New England, Kansas City, Buffalo, those will be at least 4 of the 7 teams, maybe even Indianapolis, 5 of the 7 teams that will be in the playoffs when we get there.
Boomer, with regard to the COVID list that you just mentioned, I'm kind of curious from a player perspective. You know, you get a lot of guys being put on IR, practices are being missed. The whole dynamic is really different. Do you think guys are concerned about their own stats going forward, or does everyone look at this as kind of an asterisk season across the league?
Yeah, that's a good question, Danielle. I think we always worry about our own stats, whether it's COVID-19 or not. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, get empty calorie stats late in games when their team is down by like 3 or 4 touchdowns. I could think of many quarterbacks that do that. But I, you know, we're all worried about our speed quotient on Madden and, you know, where we line up and all of that. And then we look at all the fantasy football statistics and who had the best game. I mean, we're all so bombarded by statistics. I would say all players are worried about that. And, you know, when they tell you after the game is over, you didn't play well. Yeah, but my team won, and that's all that matters. They're going to go back to the practice field, and they're going to try to get whatever they got wrong the day before right and get it right again. That's why, you know, like a guy like Philip Rivers, for instance, you know, they've lost two games because he's played really bad out in Indianapolis to Jacksonville and to Cleveland. And he talked all week long about how he was going to come back and have a great game. And he did against Cincinnati, leading his team to a 31-27 comeback win against the Bengals. And he threw for three touchdown passes, and he looked like the Philip Rivers of 10 years ago. Now the question is, can he continue to look that way, and can he still be a force for Indianapolis moving forward?
Wiggy mentioned Edelman. He was not a factor at all yesterday. What, if anything, do you think is going on there?
Well, you know, he actually had one of his best games ever with Cam Newton a couple weeks back before the COVID-19 hit. So I don't know if anything's going on there. I just think yesterday was one of those games where they were off. They just look off. This is not a Patriot-esque game, even though the game was close. I would think for their defense, you know, tightening up in the red zone and forcing six field goals for Denver was a really good performance. It was the offense that didn't do its job, and they're the ones that need the most practice. I think that's exactly what Bill Belichick is alluding to, and they just don't look right. I don't know if you'll interview Cam anytime soon.
Today.
Oh, you will?
9:30.
Okay. Yep. All right, 9:30. So, you know, the question that I would ask is just like, how much of missing practice is really causing a guy like Julian Edelman to almost like not be involved in the offense? And that's an important question, because the practice aspect to it, especially with the intricacies of the Patriots' offensive system, you know, are so vital for them to be successful, especially with a quarterback that's only been in it for about 6 to 8 weeks. You know, again, Cam is an unbelievable athlete, so he can do a lot of things that mask and camouflage the mistakes that are going on, either the ones that he's making or the ones around him that are being made. So he can escape from a sack. He can run over a guy. They can devise plays to use his skill set, which I think Josh McDaniels has done brilliantly up to this point. But the lack of practice and the lack of playing together with people really is showing itself.
Boomer, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't really understand is the physical reps that you need on the football field. Talk a little bit, especially from, you know, the quarterback to receiver position. I know for me, it was all about building chemistry and getting the quarterback to know how I run, you know, my routes and what I like to do. Same for him. And for you as a quarterback, talk about those on-field reps and just more about the chemistry and the timing when it comes to route running. And I think that's the thing that they're missing here.
You know, Wiggs, I wouldn't sit here and tell you guys, I told you so, but I told you so. I mean, early in the beginning, that, you know, for 20 years, you know, Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, and for I guess a 4-year span there, Josh wasn't there, but Tom had been in this offense for 20 years, and it's so intricate. And you know, when you think about some of the biggest catches that have been made from the wide receivers of the New England Patriots over the last 15 years, 20 years, especially those in the playoff for the Super Bowl, I mean, I can't tell you how many times a ball was thrown behind a receiver purposely, because that's where the accuracy comes in, throwing it away from a defender and the receiver coming up with a huge catch on third down and converting a 3rd and 4 or a 3rd and 7. And then eventually they'll get to throwing the seam patterns, and they'll throw the underneath slant patterns and things that like and that nature. And Tom will hit guys, you know, where he can, you know, where they can run after the catch. So Cam Newton is now in this offense. They are running different plays because of who he is as an athlete. But then they're also asking him at times to try to do what Tom Brady did with the accurate throws underneath. And the more practice you have, the more timing develops and the more trust that you have with each other. Even like on fourth down yesterday with N'Keal Harry, I'm not sure if that was a poor route by N'Keal or that was just a poor throw by Cam. That's probably another question you can ask him and just say, you know, was that, you know, where was that ball supposed to be? Was it supposed to be inside or outside? And those are the things that start to show up when you lose, especially when you only score 12 points.
All right, Boomer. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we're talking about a different result.
And hopefully whatever I say on the NFL next week, NFL Today next week, actually you know, comes true, and then you guys can bring that up.
Let's hope.
Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate that.
You're welcome,
I know
buddy.
Somebody in there has my back.
I got you.
Yeah, it's because of the flowers. You bribed her with the flowers.
Well, never forget.
Yes. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You guys have a great week.
See you,
too. Later. Brewski joins OMF Wednesday at 4:30. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Fletcher Granite. Fletcher Granite, your local granite supplier, cutting and providing granite to our communities right down to the curbs outside your home and businesses. Fletcher Granite rocking it since 1881. He's crowing a little bit there, Boomer. Well, felt pretty good about himself after the Patriots lost. Anything? Needed practice.
He's a stiddy guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you are somebody who apparently believes that theoretically he should have gone in that game yesterday.
I don't think long-term Stidham's the guy, but don't you think there was a case to be made through three quarters? Cam just doesn't have it today. Something's off. He's holding the ball for a long time. I don't think the picks were all his fault, for obviously. But in that game with Cam coming off COVID and lack of practice, if they had put Stidham in, who was ready to start last week, aren't they a little bit more finely tuned? Don't you?
So let's say Stidham comes in and they win, Ken.
Yeah.
Then next
no controversy,
week,
Cam goes right back in.
Okay.
Stidham had the same amount of practices that Cam Newton and the rest of the team had, which was 1.7 or whatever. I mean, come on, Cam.
Stop with the Stidham thing. We've seen him play.
Well, how did Cam play? Putrid.
Told
terrible.
You. He had no weapons. Wiggs, tell him.
Yes, got no weapons. The same way we complained about Brady. I'm not letting you guys off the hook by saying, oh, it's about Cam, it's about Cam, when we fought all last year about Bill needs to get Tom some weapons. Same thing with Cam.
But you said this team was the best team in the AFC.
He's continuing to say it this
morning.
Yeah,
I am still saying that. Oh, what? They just need to add. They need to add a weapon.
But that means they're not the best team if they have to add something.
The good thing is you could probably lock Cam down for $8 million a year right now, long term.
We'd pay you to sign us.
Strategic loss.
All right. Well, don't get any weapons, and we'll see what happens this season. They'll make the playoffs, but they'll be one and done like last year.
Well, Boomer said they're making. He said they're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, that's they got that going. Cam will join us 9:30 this morning, and Bill Belichick OMF 3 p.m. on a Patriots Monday. Here's Belichick talking about the challenge of playing without linemen and practice time.
Yeah, well, it was a big challenge. You know, playing without guys, getting guys hurt, moving around. Had some guys that, you know, haven't played together much, haven't practiced together much. So we need to get on the field. We need to practice. We need to develop some continuity as a team, but especially there.
Those excuses are directed at one place, Tampa Bay, because he's saying, I haven't been able to practice. You can't judge me without Brady. We haven't had the ability to get what I want implemented into the offense.
How about Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry combining for 2 catches on 8 targets for 8 yards? A couple good throws from Edelman, but that was all. They'll get Jimmy G and the Niners 4:25 this Sunday. The early line was Patriots -5. I'm surprised at that a little bit. 5-point favorites.
Stunned.
Niners beat the Rams last night. Looked pretty good doing it. Obviously, a Bucks Monday around these parts, half in the studio. Gronk with 5 catches coming back to life. He talked about the left-handed spike after the game.
The spike was not monstrous. It was a lefty. The right arm's a little sore right now, so I had to do a lefty spike. But just overall, I'm just glad I got a spike. What was special about it is that my teammates and coaches, I just felt the energy from them after I got in the end zone, like how happy they were for me, man. Just it was just a cool moment, you know. They had my first touchdown as a Buccaneer.
Oh, Gronky.
Pats could have used a tight end like that. Man, imagine if we had him.
I bet that. I mean, Brady was wildly accurate when throwing to Gronk yesterday. I mean, the two of them looked like the two of old.
Yeah, a little bit they did.
80 touchdown passes caught by Rob Gronkowski after yesterday.
Tonight, Monday Night Football doubleheader. Big one. Bills and Chiefs will join it in the second half. If you're a Pats fan, you need the Chiefs to win this game, right, Wiggy? I mean, huge KC fan tonight.
You'll make up some ground.
Mm-hmm. Cardinals and Cowboys, 8:15, we'll have that as well. Fall Classic is set. Mookie and the Dodgers against the Tampa Bay Rays. Game 1 Tuesday at Globe Life Park in Arlington with a couple fans. And here's some sad news. Mike Doc Emmerich is calling it quits.
No!
He is retiring at
no.
age 74.
No.
That is terrible news. Said Sunday, I hope I can handle retirement okay, especially since I've never done it before, but it's been 50 years. I've been extremely lucky. NBC has been so good to me, especially since the pandemic. But into my golden years, it seemed that the time was right. So No more Doc. Oh, well, the voice of hockey.
He has been doing it for, what did you say, 74 years old?
Yeah.
He's been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah, that's a hot minute. Wow. Almost as long as Greg.
That's a curse. Oh, my God, he joined our show.
Greg wasn't here, though. Yeah. Greg was off that week. It was with Rich.
The risk when it comes to guys like that is when they stop working, it's not good. The guys who work well into their 70s and their 80s, they need to keep working. That keeps them going.
Well, totally. Doc is going to be calling 30 Red Sox games next year.
Mozzarella.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
I feel alive.
It's a moral victory Monday here at WEEI, and we will be joined by Cam Newton at 9:30 this morning. And Wiggy, you're getting a little teeny bit of support on the text line.
Plant.
From
the plant.
From a 617 texter who says that that loss yesterday is not on Cam Newton. It's a bad coaching performance by Bill Belichick.
All right, so, you got my text.
Well,
think about this. You don't have a receiver in any category in the top 20 receptions, yards, touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't a quarterback take some blame in that?
Not when the guy that you have is not good enough to do to put those type of numbers up.
I thought Edelman was having his best year ever under Cam Newton.
No. If you listen to the award winning ineligible speakers with myself,
you're everywhere.
Christian Foyer and Fitzy, they asked who's having the most disappointing year this year, and I said Julian Edelman. I think we even talked about that last week.
Yeah. You didn't say that after the game he had at Seattle. You said, "Wow, look at this." Who needs
Greg
Brady?
Asked the question last week. And you asked me who's the most disappointing player, and I told you it was Edelman. He had one great game.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like Bill made some mistakes yesterday?
Oh, huge mistakes. Look at that drive we talked about where he didn't challenge a clear first down with James White, and that is a no-lose situation because the worst-case scenario, you take a timeout and you stop the clock, save 40 seconds.
Mm. He did address that post-game.
Was there a thought of challenging the spot early in the fourth quarter on James White's 2-yard run?
No, not really.
Did you get a second at that run?
Just answer the question, Doug.
Wow.
I love him. Oh, my God.
That and the two-point conversion were head-scratching.
It was, well, he talked about the two-point conversion, too, which, you know, you knew he was going to say it was the, at the time, it was the best option or whatever. I can tell you what his answer is without even hearing it, but here he is.
Bill, could you, all right, I should ask it this way. Why was going for 2 points after that touchdown the right call for you guys at that time?
We thought it was the best thing to do at that point.
Why? What? I mean, why?
Because.
How dare you?
What? Well, why?
Don't ask questions.
Unless they thought they had him on the ropes, like they had some momentum, but there was a stoppage before the 2-point play, right? Which mm-hmm. which was kind of bizarre. I don't know why you chase points there. That just
seems I didn't
dumb.
Get that one. What was it? 5 minutes to go on the clock. Mm-hmm. You think, all right, you kick the field goal. Now you're only down by a touchdown on a 2-point conversion. You miss it. Now you're down by two scores. So I didn't really get that one.
Let's see. This is a 401 text from Rhode Island. Agree. This loss is not on Cam. He deserves some of the blame, but it's not his fault at all. It is all on Bill.
Yeah, I would say Bill.
Of course you would.
The coach.
Pivot. Pivot Central over here.
Why is it always Cam when they win, but never his fault when they lose?
how come we never had any issues last year about putting the blame on Brady when he didn't have the weapons?
It's Cam's.
Answer that
Cam's
question.
Cam's the reason they win, but Bill's the reason they lose.
No,
right?
Answer that question. Why
we're talking
you?
About this season? No, yeah,
exactly. What's the difference between this season and last year?
I don't know. Tom Brady's in Tampa.
Right, but you complained all last year that he didn't have the weapons.
Right, and you told me that Cam Newton was a $30 million a year quarterback. $30 million quarterbacks do not look like that yesterday.
Would Wiggy still be mounting this defense if we weren't speaking with Cam at 9:30?
I still would be. It doesn't matter. The same way I spoke about it last year with Tom Brady, and they needed to put pieces around him.
Nobody remembers what you said last year. You say so much.
But no, when I'm dying on hills, you can hear me loud and clear. If you're paying attention, you'll hear me.
This is Michael. Michael, what's up? Michael? All right. How about Eli? Eli from Charlotte. What's up, Eli?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, Cam Newton is not the answer. I've been down here 12 years. In 8 years that Cam Newton has been playing for the Panthers, they made the playoffs 4 times. Really, when you take a look at it, what are you going to get talent for Cam Newton and for Stidham? At the end of the day, I don't agree with Boomer Esiason. I don't think this team is going to make the playoffs. You got 3 teams coming out of the AFC North. The Patriots right now, there's 9 teams ahead of them. So if you look at it, at best they're going to end up a 9-7 season, maybe an 8-8. I think they're going to go 7-9. And for me, going in the middle of the draft, it just makes more sense to tank for the season and try to get somebody like Trevor Lawrence.
Oh. Wow.
Trevor Lawrence is amazing.
We're already talking one loss to the Broncos, and we're talking tanking for Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is amazing, but how amazing is he going to be when he has nobody to throw the football to? Say he'll have better wide receivers at Clemson. He might as well stay in.
This is Justin. Hello. Hey, Justin.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
What's
How are you?
Justin?
What's going on?
So, Wiggy, I think I'm kind of shocked, man. You got to admit, Cam Newton's got a larger-than-life personality. He's not exactly got a larger-than-life skill set right now. Tom Brady last year with the same – pretty much the same level of receiving core was 8-0. I know you said he was the angriest 8-0 quarterback ever. Cam Newton does some nice things. He does a lot of good, but he also does a lot of bad. And I was not too impressed with him standing in the pocket and throwing the ball yesterday. If you're denying that and you're saying that it was the performance is on Bill Belichick as a coach, I think you're insane.
Wiggy put that on the receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, both of those sacks are on Cam Newton.
Last year's performance at the end of the game, Jermaine.
Yeah, I agree with that one. He missed that throw. No, Brady don't make that throw 9 out of 10 times. And Justin, Justin, hold on. Let me ask a question. Last year, everybody sat here and goes, the only reason why they're 8-0 is because their defense, not because of the way their offense is playing. There were people last year that said the offense didn't even need to be out there, and they were still could be 8-0 because of how good the defense was playing. Now, all of a sudden, it's Brady did more with the weapons he had last year. I think they both struggled with the weapons that they have.
Just repeat that phrase. The throw to N'Keal Harry. What did you say about Tom Brady making that?
No, I thought he was talking about the DeMar Bird throw.
Oh, okay. I thought he was talking about the N'Keal last year.
Oh, he went the final throw of the game, the 4th and 10.
Last year, through 8 games, Tom Brady had 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions with this very similar roster.
Okay. Well, we'll see where we're at through 8 games. Cam's got, what, 3 more games left?
2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
This is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Wiggy, you're the poor man's LB. I mean, a couple weeks ago, it was all about Cam Newton had these cute little nicknames for all his receivers, and he was going to bond with them, something Tom Brady, because he was older, couldn't do. And now he's got nobody to throw it to.
Well, he had nobody to throw him 4 weeks ago.
Is Cam Newton working with these guys, and is he bringing them up, or isn't he?
He had nobody to throw 4 weeks ago. That's why I was like, go get Odell Beckham. Go get Julio Jones. I mean, if you listen, you would have been hearing me yelling and screaming that they need players from day one.
I really don't think you were.
Yeah, I was.
Here's Michael from Lynn. Michael. Michael.
I'm right here. One second.
Oh, all right. Take your time.
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry. Good morning. How you guys
good
doing?
Good morning.
We got all day. Don't worry.
I'm just calling because we got rid of a 2020 Tesla for a Kia on the side of the road that you didn't even have to pay for it. They'll just take whatever you could give. Oh. Cars for kids. That's what you got now.
Oh, you mean
you guys are gonna give all the excuses? Wiggy's going to sit there and say, give him 4 years and 130. He can't even throw the ball 20 yards down the field. He doesn't know when the sack is coming. They lost to a 1-3 team yesterday, and they're the best team in the AFC, Wiggy. Yep. Really?
Yep. Michael, are you saying that Cam Newton is like the couch that you see on the side of the road where the sign says, just take it if you want?
Carolina dumped him with ease, and they're better without him right now. What does that tell you?
And a quick note.
What would the Patriots be with Stidham Ahoyo?
Can people stop talking all over each other this morning? What is it, Curtis?
The Patriots lost to the Broncos. The Broncos lost 28-10 to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So using Wiggy's math, Tom Brady, the Bucs, much better team than the Patriots.
Where would the Patriots be if they started Stidham Ahoyo this year? What would their record be?
Probably 2-3.
Hey, whatever, well, yes, man. Stop it. They'd be 0-5.
They just lost to Drew Locke, who was throwing it on purpose to Patriots players.
Well, that's because I told you, when you have nobody to throw it to on offense, that's what you run into.
Here
is Derek, the Steelers fan. Yes, Derek.
Hold on a second, Hill Dog, will you?
Yes.
I love that. Great call, but that was a great start. So, you know, let somebody, you know, get through your spin that you know, after 30 years, you still have your fastball on that. Okay, there's nothing, no excuses here. This NFL season is not like the other sports that were dramatically affected and changed, okay? Their preseason was messed with. So stop with the practices and all that other crap, okay? They are not a very good football team. Everybody's been saying that, except for a few, you know, people like Wiggy. Now, buried in this all is two things. Their defense isn't very good. I know everyone wants to, you know, claim that they looked good yesterday, but Phil Lindsay is middle of the road, nobody, ran it all over him. And the only reason they didn't score any touchdowns is because the guy named Vic Fangio is their coach and Drew Locke's their quarterback. They both stink. They should have blown doors on the Patriots yesterday, and that's a bad team. And the other thing, your boy, Belichick's not having a good year, Hildog. You can't deny that. I mean, him and Scrum Club Stevie are still struggling to get the right personnel at the right time. Do I call a timeout? Don't I? I mean, what's up with him? Is it the mass? Like, is it like the carbon monoxide blowing back in? You know, what's happened to him?
We're taking it day by day.
He's focusing on the health of his players. That's the most important thing to him.
I love that. I love that whole narrative. All of a sudden, this kid, you know, he's you know, Mother Teresa of the NFL, led by the McCourty twins, who are now suddenly running the Players Association. I'm glad today I could actually call in about football and not Kent's made-up crisis, because I'll tell you what. We're going to find
cut
out
him off, cut him off.
Who's the best team. We'll find out next week when two good teams actually square off and the 5-0 Pittsburgh football Steelers come away with the victory.
Well, that's what
Boomer
Derek
said. Boomer, who are the two good teams?
The Titans?
Yeah, this is the
Greg couldn't even see what was going on in the studio physically, I don't think, because of the monitor.
This was
Wiggy,
the same,
my God.
This was the same Texans team that almost and should have beat the Titans, and now everybody's anointing the Titans as the greatest thing.
They were on a short week.
Now they were on a short week. How come we can't say the Patriots didn't get no practice time?
What just happened?
Well, because when he said the
Wiggy
two best teams.
No,
he's
I'm not rattled.
He's been carrying Cam's water for the last 7 weeks.
I'm exposing the frauds that we have in this building.
All right, we got you.
Yes.
All right.
Can we have Billy Squire on the rejoin, please?
I mean, listen, Boomer said, did Boomer not say, Ken, that the reason that they were off yesterday offense-wise was the lack of practice? And because the when it comes to Cam and this system, Edelman and this system, that they need their reps.
Well, building your case for blaming the league, Greg, I mean, they missed two offensive linemen yesterday because of COVID, Shaq Mason and your backup center, and you missed the D lineman. You're telling me they don't beat the lowly Broncos with those three players and some practice time?
I said it during my lead. I blame this on the NFL for not giving them a bigger locker room.
Ballsy take from you.
All right. We're going to talk to Cam Newton at 9:30 this morning. But we're going to get to the news coming up next. If for any reason you cannot listen to this show or this station on the radio, a reminder that you can stream us wherever you go at WEEI.com or on the radio.com app. And if you don't have the app yet, you can text the letters APP to the text line, which is 37937, and download it that way. So we'll send you a link back and you can download the radio.com app and take us wherever you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news
in 3, 2, 1
with your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team, assemble!
There are two Northeast Men's Health locations, one in Dedham next to Legacy Place and the other in Salem, New Hampshire. You can learn more when you go to northeastmenshealth.com.
Well, if you were at the Fat Cats Food and Drink in Hudson, New Hampshire between October 2nd and October 9th, you might want to go get yourself a COVID test if you're not feeling any symptoms.
Uh-oh.
Authorities saying that there are at least 17 new coronavirus cases associated with this restaurant. Evidently, evidently, load them up. There was one person who went there knowing they had tested positive for COVID-19 and they were supposed to be in isolation.
Oh, what a jerk.
Yep.
Well, they're supposed
selfish.
To be, so wait, they were supposed to be quarantining
yep.
and they went to the Fat Cats restaurant mm-hmm. instead? That's
yep.
not right.
And another person was supposed to be in quarantine. They hadn't had a positive test, but for whatever reason, they shouldn't have been out.
Right.
That person visited as well. So now authorities have connected 17 cases thus far. Dr. Benjamin Chan is the New Hampshire state epidemiologist.
We do know that one of the individuals was associated with this establishment, actually had been diagnosed with COVID-19 and broke their isolation and attended some functions.
Huh. Well, that's not right.
No, don't do that.
Not right. The guy deserves jail time. What do you mean it's not right?
You're responsible. Send him to the gulag.
I'm not even kidding. They're renaming the restaurant Sturgis when they come back to
so,
after
wait,
COVID.
When you say you're not even kidding, you think somebody should go to jail for that?
You don't?
If you test positive, if you if you're
knowingly.
Positive for coronavirus, you knowingly go out to places in public.
Yeah.
Shame on you! How dare!
I mean, you shouldn't go to jail, but you should be fined.
Something,
I would say
fine. Yeah. I'd be behind a fine.
You'd be okay with a fine.
Yes, if you knowingly, you know you have it. Get the hell out of here.
Uphold the adulation.
Right. Yes. Yeah. What? No, no. I want 2 demerits with that as well. Are you a Nuke Bizzle fan?
I am.
You are?
How'd you know?
Well, he's been arrested, so you're probably not going to hear too much from him lately.
Who is Nuke Bizzle?
Greg, you're so big on the rap scene, I can't believe you don't know.
He's a rapper?
He's a rapper. Okay.
He's a rapper.
Now, he's a rapper. He's been arrested after allegedly filing $1.2 million in scam unemployment benefits using stolen identities. And of course, as is often the case with criminals, they can't help but boast about what they've done when they pull off a scam. So this dummy rapped about it in a song, made a video about the song, and then, it's pretty much a confession. The song's called EDD, short for the Employment Development Department. There's a little bit of a clip where he raps about getting rich.
I get been swiping for EDD. Go to the bank, get a stack at least. Fix it here better than selling peas. I made some red that I couldn't believe. 10 cars, that's 200 bun. I got a shot at the Donald Trump. I get my swipe me a lump sum. I'm in New York having money for. I done got rich, I'm an EDD. I ain't hit no more liquor than EDD.
I like the song.
Your heaven, baby. Yeah.
Now, he's keeping authentic. That's all it is.
105.
Who's the rapper that you brought up who got like $21 million
Baby Blue from
In PPP money?
Yeah, that would be Baby Blue from the group Pretty Ricky.
Ah, Pretty Ricky.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this rapper lost out to Scott from Weymouth for Dumbest of the Day.
That is pretty incredible, but Scott was epic. Now, if you were invited to a wedding that was going to have, I don't know, say 10,000 people. Yes, that's right, 10,000 people. Would you go?
Probably not.
It was supposed to happen in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo got word about it. I guess it was a very large Hasidic wedding that was supposed to take place. Upwards of 10,000 people had been invited.
Who's footing the bill for that?
The bride's dad.
Asking for a frugal friend.
Jeep.
The father is paying for 10,000 people to go to a wedding?
Evidently. I don't know if it was open bar or BYOB.
BYOB on that one.
Seriously. On Saturday, the governor did have a news conference, and he said that, you know, this is kind of irresponsible.
You can't have a wedding now with thousands of people. There is no safe way to do that. We know that. I couldn't go to church. I couldn't go to synagogue. I couldn't go to work. Those protests, I get. I also get, I wanted to have a big wedding. My suggestion, have a small wedding this year. Next year, have a big wedding. Invite me. I'd come.
Imagine the gifts you get if you invite 10,000 people to your wedding.
That's it.
I don't think you ever recover the cost, though, because you know you're going to, there's such a big sector of that, because it's probably like $200 per plate type of wedding if you have the kind of money to invite 10,000 people.
Jesus.
You know you're not getting that back in gifts. You're not doing it.
10 grand, 10,000 people,
that's
though. I didn't
that.
Even know,
no
like,
way.
Do you even know that many
Seriously.
People?
Was the was the photo that was floating around this weekend of Marty Walsh officiating the wedding a real photo?
I mean, I was trying to look for things that would indicate date, location, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, there seemed to be only evergreens behind them. Mm-hmm. So seasonally, I guess it could have happened. I couldn't tell when this was from.
Yeah.
It was very interesting to see
that. I mean,
that.
It kind of went
viral. Well,
didn't
he say he was at a wedding?
He said he was at one when he didn't have the mask on in the picture.
Right. So was he wearing the same thing?
He was in a conga
thing?
Line in this one.
But in this, this one, he's officiating the wedding, and he doesn't have a mask on either.
Is he a registered officiant? I did not know
he probably
that.
Probably did the one-day certificate online.
Right.
Yeah. Stop the nonsense.
Yeah,
kid.
Okay. All right.
Back in June, the National Guard sent spy planes out to monitor four sites across the country during the George Floyd protests. They were Minneapolis, Phoenix, Washington, D.C., and Dorado Hills, California, which is a fairly affluent suburb, I think just outside Sacramento. Now, that might seem a little weird to you, given that the other three places are major cities and this is just a tiny little suburb. Mm-hmm. Turns out the head of the Air National Guard in California reportedly ordered the fourth plane because that's where he lives.
Oh.
And he heard that there was going to be a small protest in his neighborhood.
Okay.
Now, when he was questioned about it, he said he could not remember whether he had authorized the plane to go there or not. He had no recollection of giving that authorization. The gentleman's name is Major General David S. Baldwin, and now the government is doing a full investigation to see whether he misappropriated government resources to keep an eye on his own neighborhood.
But the protest, like four people or something. Right.
Basically.
Well, he heard that his wife was cheating on him, too, so he had to make sure that Joe gets up there.
There's a story, Greg, that I know is one of your favorite types in the world. In Washington State, a man accidentally burns down his trailer after he was trying to get rid of raccoons. Sunday morning, very early in the morning, this 38-year-old man who was reportedly using drugs at the time was frustrated because there was a family of raccoons living under his trailer. And of course, you know, they are somewhat nocturnal, so they were making noise. He was trying to figure out how to get rid of them, so he was carrying a candle around to see. He accidentally knocked the candle over, set his entire trailer ablaze. I believe that the entire thing is a loss. Mm-hmm. Sheriff's deputies in that area say that if you are going to try to eradicate any type of pests, do not do it with fire. That is very dangerous.
You don't have a flashlight?
Well,
1700. He needs a candle.
Maybe no batteries. Maybe no batteries. You never know. There's an irrational fear in the news this morning. This is why you got to watch your kids when they play with your phone to go on YouTube or play an app. There's a woman named Emily Schmidt who is from Ohio, and she was letting her 2-year-old daughter Carson play with her phone. Her daughter was, you know, booping around, hitting various icons and buttons, and all of a sudden, she realized that her daughter had sent a nude photo of her because the woman was in the bathroom dyeing her hair naked. Mm-hmm. So the little girl took a photo and sent it to everyone in her contacts list.
Oh, jeez.
A coworker of her sent a letter saying, thank you for the nude photos. And she's like, what are you talking about? She goes, go back and check your text messages.
Wait a minute, sent a letter?
I think it was like a little note to her, like an iPhone note.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And the woman was completely confused. She's no idea what was going on. And then she went to look through and she realized like all these people she hadn't talked to in forever were popping up as text messages.
Yeah.
So she had to send out a mass apology. Yes. And some people are saying, you know, no big deal. Like, I got a picture of the ceiling at a different point during the morning. I just thought maybe your kid had your phone, but keep your eye on your kids when they're playing with your phones. Britney Spears showed up on a beach over the weekend.
Oh,
you know,
is she okay?
There's been some concerns that she's being held against her will.
Yes.
I don't know if her dad still has that conservatorship.
Right. Is she still beefing with him?
Well, we discussed this on the show a month or so ago briefly, but I'm concerned about Britney. I want Britney freed. Curtis, how do you feel about Britney? Do you want Britney freed?
I love Britney.
Yeah. I mean,
huge
I feel
fan.
Like I, so it's a weird thing that are like people think she's sending signals in these videos, like a hostage video where they told her that if she was in trouble, she should wear a certain color item. And then she wore it. Yeah.
It's very, very strange.
But
people are keeping an eye on it, though.
But why does he still have control over
her? Yeah, I don't really get that one.
Maybe it's because
either she's bat-ass crazy or she's not.
Right.
I mean,
her last Instagram post, she was listening to the skate pod, which was really
weird.
Well,
that's a clear indicator that something is wrong there. But yeah.
Leave Britney alone!
Oh,
please!
Chris.
I mean, you'd think that she's had enough time to kind of get herself better. And I mean, it's
you
been,
think.
It's
but
been
how is she being held against? I don't understand this. Could you give it like a 30-second explanation?
He has the conservatorship. He went to court and got a mental conservatorship over her at the time when she like shaved
dealing
her head and
issues.
she was having some issues. And that means he's in charge of everything. So when it comes to money and everything else, the old man is in charge of it. And people are saying that she, you know, can't.
She has no access to anything, basically.
She can't get money. She can't get rid of him in her life. And that her family is basically controlling everything that she does.
Jesus. Sounds like she was trying to recharge her batteries and it went awry.
He chooses that.
All right. Anything else, Danielle?
Yeah. One more story. Liam Neeson's thriller Honest Thief won at the box office over the weekend. This is one of the most 2020 things you're going to hear all day. It took in a whopping $3.7 million, and it was the winner at the box office with $3.7 Thanksgiving.
What do you think is going to happen to movie theaters? Are they done?
I think so.
For good?
I think we're going to see some new iteration of movies. I think Curtis might have mentioned this last week or the week before. I think we'll see a lot of the conventional style movie theaters shut down because, like we talked last week, Showcase Cinemas and Revere's closing after 50 years. I think some new kind of concept is going to pop up.
You know, AMC just offered this deal. You can rent the whole theater for $99.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I saw that.
God.
But it's not going nowhere. Once you get the vaccine and things get back to normal. Because Greg said July.
No.
When this is over?
Yeah, when this is over. There are a lot of people that like that in movie theater experience, especially like if you're going to go see, you know, the Avengers or some of those movies that are in IMAX and they love the sound and the picture quality.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to, what are they going to do? They're not going to say instantly, we're going to spend $60 for those movies to go to straight to on demand.
But I don't know if getting the vaccine is going to make a difference. Last night on 60 Minutes, even Fauci said he wasn't sure he was going to take the vaccine. So what good does getting the vaccine do?
What good does renting out an AMC theater for $100 do when you can only fit 8 people in it with the new guidelines?
That's a great point, Curtis.
Yeah, you're going to spend $100 renting the whole theater and $1,000 buying candy for everybody who's there. But, I mean, I don't know. It's probably it'd be a good party if you could get anybody to go.
I mean, is it with current movies? Because if it were, like, if you could get, like, a throwback movie and be like, I'd like to request this movie from your back catalog, that would be fun.
I think they'd probably do whatever you wanted them to do for the $99, I would guess.
I've seen that on Craigslist.
Yeah. All right. coming up at 9:30 this morning, Cam Newton will join us on a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.